I was trying to get a little too fancy there. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And last night, as I mentioned to you, we had a bit of a, I say we, I always put things in the plural when I speak of myself, as do many people who have a platform publicly, whether it's a radio show, a TV show, or a politician, or an athlete, you always say we. And in my case, it's very literally we. Some people may be just saying that because they don't want to sound egotistical, but when I get sick, we get sick. And last night, that happened. So we're very happy to be back with you this evening, but we will have a bonus show on Saturday as the result of that. And that's my pledge to you. If we're out for whatever reason during the week, we will do a bonus Saturday show online at philhenryshow.com. So you'll be able to see us, and our Saturday shows are... And I freely admit that I got the idea for this from Drunk History. Not because I never thought about talking about history. I do a lot on the show. But doing it and doing tequila shots, that is genius. And so we'll be doing that this Saturday evening at 6 o'clock Pacific here on Phil TV, as well as, wherever. But check us out. Mark Wahlberg blasts Hollywood privilege at Lone Survivor premiere. I'm sorry for losing my S.H. blank blank. Margaret Gray, take it away.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I think Mark Wahlberg should reconsider getting as upset as he does when there are comparisons made between the work in Hollywood and perhaps a soldier fighting in Afghanistan. And this is what he was getting upset with. Tom Cruise had said, being an actor is much like being a soldier on a tour of duty, let's say in Afghanistan, or it could be any foreign war. You don't see your children, you don't see your family. He was immediately brought to task by a number of people saying, my goodness, how could you even begin to compare what you do as an actor to what the soldiers are going through in Afghanistan? I agree with that 100%. I think a lot of the people that made those comments about Tom Cruise don't quite understand how intently an actor can get into a part.
Wait, hold on for a minute. Oh, no, I want to say something now. No, hold on, General, we'll let you... You see, you're backsliding now a little bit.
What do you mean I'm backsliding? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, that's kind of dirty.
What do you mean that's dirty?
What are you talking about? Backsliding, that means that you're putting something that makes it slide.
Are you out of your mind, man?
What is he talking about?
What?
What are you talking? Are you talking about lube? Good Christ! The woman wasn't even. I'm frightened now.
Hold on, General. Bud, just shut up, okay?
Bud's talked about backslide.
I'm stunned. If I hadn't been so stunned, I would have already have probably taken your head clean off. Now I've calmed down. So
hey, watch it!
Kick his ass.
You're the one that said it.
She's not saying backslide as in that. She's talking about sliding back on an opinion.
I'm stunned. God.
Sit down, General.
General, you want some water?
Please get me water.
See what you did?
I didn't do anything just because the old man can't take it.
The old man can't... Are you...
Hey!
Bud, you're an idiot. Okay, you're just a solid gold idiot.
I'm not the one that said backslide. She's the one that said it, so...
Oh, you're not the one that said backslide. Did I say something about lubing up? God.
You did right now.
Well, you forced me into it.
All right, let's take it just as...
Take it easy?
Yeah, let's take it easy.
Anyway, what I was saying was... I wasn't backsliding. I'm saying that I agree with Mark Wahlberg that and all the others that would take Tom Cruise to task and say, listen, don't you dare... say what you said. I forget.
Let me say, because I know a little something about this. When you're on a tour of duty in Afghanistan, the only way that you can compare that to being an actor doing a movie is if you're in the USO or you're doing something like this. That may be what he was talking about.
No, I don't think so.
You don't?
No, I don't think so. I think he was talking about being a soldier fighting in a war. And I would even go so far as to say, and I haven't seen any comments, but I would even bet that Mr. Cruz, were he given an opportunity to reflect on what he said, might take it back. Now, I don't know if he has. Do you know, Margaret?
No, I don't know if he has or not. I don't think he should. I don't think Tom Cruise was intending any insult. I think what happens... God, look at the ass on that woman, will you?
What?
On that Dyson commercial.
Yeah, she does have a big butt.
Can you stick to what we're talking about, please?
I'm sorry, I couldn't believe they'd do that.
Well, do what?
She had a butt on her... Never mind. In any event, what I'm saying is this.
What channel is it on?
It's over on the...
Never mind about that. We're talking about something else.
I'm saying that Tom Cruise, I'm sure, meant no harm. He's simply saying he prepares very intently. He is a very intense actor. I've seen Tom Cruise on set. And he transports you. He really, really does. And the intensity with which he brings to each and every caricature, I believe, is one of the most revealing and moving things that one can experience. Now,
this is, Ms. Gray, with all due respect, I don't think you're not doing yourself any favors. You sound like a sycophant. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know, and I take that as you intended it, as a gross insult.
No, I'm sorry, but you do sound like one of these typical hangers-ons, the Hollywood sycophant that wants to be around the big star and get the name in all the newspapers. That's what you sound like to me.
Well, my name is in a lot of newspapers. I write a column.
Well, let me tell you, if Tom Cruise came around my soldiers and said what he said, why, I'd kick his ass so far up between his shoulder blades that he'd have to belch to fart. Okay?
Yes, isn't that colorful?
I'm telling you that Tom Cruise would never get away with a comment like that around my command, or I'd have him buried up to his neck in sand near a red anthill, and then I would sprinkle sugar all over his face. Boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and what else?
Oh, you're enjoying this, huh?
Yeah, that's ghoulish, Phil, for you to ask what else.
Well, he's sitting there giving me the whole rundown. You're going to bury him up to his neck. You're going to sprinkle sugar on his face.
What about you, try to kick his head like it's for a field goal?
There's a good idea. Try to kick his head like it's for a field goal, even though it's still attached to his body.
All right, so I gather that you wouldn't like what Tom Cruise said.
No, I would not. Not at all, sir. No, sir, no, sir.
Well, again, no one's listening to me. I don't think he meant what he said in the sense that it was taken, in the sense that, because I can see Robert giving me the big bug-eyed, what?
Well, how do you mean he don't mean what? He said what he said, because that's how he feels. How can you say he didn't mean it?
I think what, may I?
No, you may not. I'll explain myself. Go ahead.
A lot of people will say things. They use a comparison. To them, it is right off the top of their head. They're not quite thinking about the impact. It's in a very general sense. They're saying mostly what they're trying to say and what Tom Cruise was trying to say: I'm away from my children. I miss my kids. I'm out there and I'm doing for them. I'm earning a living. I'm working very hard, and I'm on a location, so I'm far away from them. And you think, okay, what can I compare that to? Well, a soldier who's on a tour of duty. Now, if we weren't at war, he might have gotten away with it, if we were not at war. But we are. And so he did not pick that comparison very carefully, and I think you have to. You want to give him a break here, Margaret.
Well, Phil, you said it very well there. If we were not in a fight for the life of this country, it's not even a fight for the life, but if we're over there and we're trying to blow those those ragtops right out of those bunker complexes and the holes and get those skinnies.
All right, take it easy. General looks like he's going to...
You want another glass of water, General?
Yes, I need to sit down.
Go ahead.
Well, boy, you talk about war, General, and I can see your eyes light up and turn red as flame. Just like his, only smaller.
What's that, a reference to Dracula?
To who?
The movie, Dracula. What was it?
Dracula is what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
Dracula?
Yeah, General, some water.
Thank you. Hit the spot.
Okay, so anyway, Mark Wahlberg was a guy who got upset and wasn't afraid to say that he was upset, and we'll find out what it was that he said when we come back, but I can see now by the clock on the wall, it's time for us to take another break. How about them apples, the world-famous Phil Henry Show? What was that, bud?
I'm sorry.
Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back, 855-507-445. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So I want to read this without further ado. This is Mark Wahlberg on the film that he's in called Lone Survivor. This is an adaptation of Petty Officer Marcus Luttrell's account of his Navy SEALs mission in Afghanistan in July of 2005. Now, if I am not mistaken, was this not is this the same mission for which the Petty Officer won? Was awarded a Medal of Honor, perhaps not. But nonetheless, it is one of many amazing stories from Afghanistan in the early years of the war there. He was at the premiere of this film, Lone Survivor, was Mark Wahlberg, along with the director Peter Berg, and he was on stage as well with Officer Luttrell. Now, they were there to talk about the film that they had just witnessed, just watched there at the AFI Fest, and this was on Tuesday night. After the credits rolled for a brief Q&A, actor Wahlberg looked distraught and distracted. After Luttrell explained how he and Berg teamed up for the film, the moderator, festival director Jacqueline Lianga, turned to Wahlberg to ask about his rigorous training and the rough shoot. Wahlberg looked visibly pained by the question and started on what would become an almost five-minute monologue. And I will clean it up for you. For actors to sit there and talk about, oh, I went to SEAL training, I don't give an F what you did. You don't do what these guys did. For somebody to sit there and say, my job was as difficult as being in the military, how effing dare you, while you sit in makeup for 2 hours, Wahlberg said. He continued, I don't give an S if you get your ass busted. You get to go home at the end of the day. You get to go to your hotel room. You get to order your effing chicken. Maybe Yardbird, General.
Yeah, well, there you go. This young man is saying exactly... Did he say Yardbird? Because if he said Yardbird, he's my kind of actor.
No, he didn't say Yardbird. He said you get to order your effing chicken, whatever the F it is.
They get to have chicken?
Will you forget about it and listen to what I'm talking about?
Yeah, man, well, they don't get no chicken in Afghanistan, man. You gotta have KFC over there.
Don't you think maybe they could order it for...
They do have very good craft services.
Are you people listening to me?
Yes.
Listen to what he's saying. He's saying something that we all suspect, and I don't doubt that the other actors feel this way. And I don't even doubt that Tom Cruise feels this way. I think Cruise probably regrets saying what he said. I don't think there are actors who are aware... and intelligent people and are very happy for what it is they do for a living and feel, you know, blessed and honored. I don't think there's too many that don't understand what Mark Wahlberg's saying. I don't think that there is an attitude out there prevalent among actors that, hey, I think I'm a badass and I think I'm every bit as tough as a Navy SEAL. Not one that is intelligent, not one that's got some kind of a soul, not one that has any kind of conscience, and I would say that's most of them. I think that there may be one or two that go to work and are in war movies and think they're some kind of a badass, but they got to be very, very few and far between.
What about, like, Steven Seagal and guys like that?
What do you mean? Steven Seagal used to be in the military. I think a guy like Wahlberg probably understands how good he's got it, or how good the life is, I should say, and it is sickened at the thought that anybody who is an actor for a living would think that his ass is some kind of, you know, tough guy. But I don't know how many. I don't think there's hardly any guys that think that way.
Well, you see, a few of them think that it doesn't smell, and I'm using a crude comparison.
You ever seen him turn around and sniff?
You're worse than an idiot, Bud. You are going to take stupid backwards. You degrade the level of stupid. That's how stupid you are.
What did he say?
Do they ever turn around and sniff it?
What?
I'm assuming after they pin...
Give me that, will you? Anyway, He continued, I don't give an S if your ass gets busted, whatever the F it is. People talk about what do we do to bond the way that those guys bonded. We just knew what they did. It didn't matter. I didn't have to say a word to Emil Hirsch, one of the co-stars, or a word to Taylor Kitsch or Ben Foster, who's my brother, even though he's the kind of actor who wants to continuously debate the debate and everything else, and I love him for it. I give him half my salary, whatever I gave him, to do it, because I knew how great he was, and for us to be on that mountain together, and in the end, I could just look at him, and it would break my heart knowing that that's my brother, and I may never see him again. But it just seems like so much more than that. I've done the movies where I talk about, God, I trained for 4.5 years, and I was the fighter, and F all that. It really means nothing. I love Marcus for what he's done, and I'm a very lucky guy to do what I do, and I'm proud to have been a part of it, but it's just so much bigger than what I do. I love Pete for what he did and how committed he was. He would never let any of us forget what was important. So he gave a big, long speech about how he's just an actor, you know.
Well, he's degrading other actors, though, by... Well,
how's he degrading other actors?
What I'm trying to say is the following thing.
Now, Ms. Gray, please understand that I'm a retired military, but I'm still military. And I don't want you to say anything that would make me... I would never hurt a woman, but I would feel unkindly toward you, and I would not be all that disposed to protect you as you walk through a dark parking lot. I may lean against a wall and watch and see what happened first.
I don't know what you just said, but that...
What I said was...
Never mind. Just... What?
What I'm saying is... I don't... What I'm saying is this. You'd lean against a wall and wait for it to happen. I just got that.
All right. Are you going to finish what you're going to say?
Yes. I think the actor, as he exists today, as the actor exists in our midst today... The actor today should be viewed with, yes, I think, a more realistic viewpoint, but at the same time should be protected in the wild. And I'm not saying it right. The actor is in his natural habitat. I guess that's a trailer, but it could be...
His home?
Yes, it could be his home. Are you making fun of me?
Well, what are you talking about, a natural habitat?
Will you shut your mouth and I'll fit... Today, our actors are endangered. I know it sounds like I'm talking about a koala bear or something, but I mean not endangered as a human, but endangered... Good actors are endangered. And in the habitat that they are in... Yes, which I guess is a makeup chair...
Margaret, quit trying to make them sound like they're endangered animals. That's the problem you're getting into.
No, I'm not trying anything.
Well, that's what you're doing.
What?
You're making it sound like they're... Like Robert just said, you're making it sound like they're animals in the wild.
The actor is... The actor is... He's much more than an actor.
Okay, let me just say what Mark Wahlberg said. He's a human being, and he's nothing special, and he does a movie, and he does a TV show, and he works very hard, and that's great, and we enjoy what they do, but he's not a soldier in Afghanistan. That's all the cat is saying, that the actor doesn't do anywhere near as much for his fellow man as the soldier in Afghanistan or the soldier out there fighting does.
Well, see, I disagree. I really do, because I think the actor... Yes, the soldier protects us from the bad people, but the actor... protects us from the bad...
Bad acting?
From bad acting, yes. The good actor.
Protects us from bad acting?
Yes, from the bad actor.
Well, then it isn't the actor, it's the good actor.
No, it's the... Would you listen to what I'm saying?
Margaret, I don't give a crap. I don't need to be protected from the bad actor. I can go and watch the bad actor and...
And are you going to feel as if... Are you going to... You won't feel probed.
But you talk about probe, I go see bad acting.
Name some bad acting that you've seen, bud.
When I saw, like, Jaws.
What bad acting did you see?
Like that one, the shark at the end when it had the can in its mouth.
That's a shark. That was a mechanical shark, man.
Still, it was bad.
All right, were you degraded by it?
I felt probed. Yeah, like you were saying.
There you go.
Probed? Are you guys listening to yourselves?
Well, no, Phil, now she's saying something. I feel as if someone has slipped their finger between my, well...
Between the cheeks of your...
All right, I can't listen to this anymore.
I laughed, I shouldn't have.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did laugh. I can't listen to this anymore. I don't need to be protected. And the mechanical shark in Jaws was not an actor, bud. The mechanical shark in Jaws was a mechanical shark, so it wasn't acting. You may not have liked the mechanical shark, because the thing had a can in its mouth. What can?
It had the oxygen tank.
Oh, the oxygen tank in its mouth. Yeah. Yeah, that was some bad acting, man. It was bad acting by the guy that decided to put the oxygen tank in the shark's mouth.
Yeah, that was Chief Brody.
That wasn't Chief Brody. I'm talking about the guy that made the decision to put the can in the thing's mouth is what I'm talking about. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. I'm going to take some calls when we come back right after these very important messages. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We're going to get Robert Green on the phone here with us, Bob Green from Fraser Foods. Very interesting story in a variety of news sources about JP Morgan Chase. You may or may not know they have been hit with $13 billion, that's billion, folks, $13 billion worth of fines, or will be, by the Justice Department, or I should say it's a $13 billion settlement. I guess it comes off as the money's leaving their pockets and it's going into, in the case of a settlement, it's going to be going into the pockets of defrauded investors, because that's what we're talking about here, folks. In any event, leading up to the story that I do want to tell you about and the one that Bob's going to comment on, Twitter got into the act here the other day as J.P. Morgan, the target of 8 Justice Department investigations, the J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, JPM, U.S., the target of 8 Justice Department investigations, was mocked and taunted by Twitter users after asking their followers to send questions to an executive using the hashtag AskJPM. Okay, here are guys that have just been nailed by the Justice Department for mortgage fraud leading to the 2008 global economic meltdown. That they weren't the only cause of it, but they were a big piece of it. And these clowns have got the chutzpah to hashtag AskJPM. And, you know, we're going to ask you, you know, ask your questions about a career here with J.P. Morgan or on Wall Street, just like they're not even missing a beat, you know.
What were they mocking them for?
Man, because they're being fined $13 billion. You didn't hear what Mr. Ernst said?
No, I didn't hear.
They're getting hit with a $13 billion settlement.
What'd they do?
What, J.P. Morgan? Are you kidding?
Well, Phil, I'm a military man. I don't know.
Oh, I know what it was. It was the global meltdown. The global... Is that what that is?
Yes, the global meltdown.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Now I know, too. Yeah.
Yeah, we were a little... The global meltdown. I know about that.
Really? What was that?
Well, don't you know? You're the one that's bringing this up.
Yeah, I know what it is. I'm wondering if you guys do.
It was the... Phil, everyone knows that the global meltdown. Everyone knows about it.
Yes, the economy was a meltdown.
Yeah, but what was it? What exactly? Do you guys even know what it was?
I know what it was. Don't treat me as if I'm an imbecile or the general. Or even Bud in this instance. You know Bud, don't you?
Yeah, about a meltdown, yeah.
Robert, you're the only guy here that knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what a global meltdown was. It was an economic meltdown. The bottom fell out of the stock market. Nothing had value.
Exactly. Nothing had value. The bottom stopped out of the... Excuse me. The bottom fell... What did you say?
No. What was it you were explaining?
Nothing had value. The bottom stopped down out of the bottom, out of the felt market.
Out of the felt market. All right.
Phil, I hate it when you get all... Ooh! You act very little Lord Fauntleroy, like you're... Like yours doesn't smell either.
Yeah. All right. Bob Green is on the line with us here. We'll just get right to the very nitty gritty here. And do I hear? Are you in a bathtub, Bob?
I am, Phil. As a matter of fact, it's been a very tough day.
Because the only reason I ask is I had on the show tonight Steve Bozell. I had another guest who was sitting in a bathtub.
Oh well, it's a lot of people like it. A lot of men are taking baths now because it's very relaxing. It's good for the for the muscles. So
that's interesting. Did you know, Bud?
Yeah, yeah. He's in a bathtub. I said that's okay if you're in a bathtub.
Yeah, he said it was all right because apparently you're okay with it.
Yeah, I don't think any other talk show anywhere has ever had as many guys come on the air in bathtubs. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, what I wanted to comment on, Phil, was the J.P. Morgan. These fines, or as you call them, fines, a settlement, a $13 billion settlement. Now, let me, if I could get to the point here, I know they did the little Twitter thing, and that was cute, and I hope all the people on Twitter had a good time. See, at the end of the day, Twitter comments do not make or break a company. I thought J.P. Morgan was trying to be as forthcoming as they could to try to help some of these young kids that are in college and may want to start a career in the financial sector, but if they want to sit there on their mother and father's dime and snack on something that comes in a bag, in fact, live their entire lives sustained by food that comes in a bag or food that comes in a box, that's what they can do. And I give them till maybe 35 before they have a stroke. But that's their business. I live on, I jog, I do kickboxing. I'm pushing 50, and I think, and I'm only 5'6". But for my size, I believe pound for pound, I could take any one of them. And I would love the opportunity. That's how, I guess I'm getting off point here.
Yeah, a little bit, Bob. I mean, I'm glad that you're in good shape. You sound put out by a lot of the people on Twitter that were mocking J.P. Morgan.
Well, I am, because, these are people that are sitting at a computer. And really, everything they're going to be doing in their lives, they'll be sitting at a computer. And I don't mean making money. I mean, if they make money, they'll be sitting at a computer. But if they most likely will not make money, they'll still be at a computer. And they'll be eating out of a bag. And I can tell you that a person like that will look like a gargoyle by the time they're 50. They'll look like a big, fat, sagging chin gargoyle. Like that thing in the movie, did you see that thing, The Hobbit? Did you ever see that Hobbit?
Yeah, I saw that.
You remember the thing that had the big sagging chin on it? Jesus. I mean, that made me want to vomit. I saw it with my son. I've got a new son because of my third wife, and I decided, bah.
But you know, Bob, I don't want to hear about your son. I talked to you off the air about it. You know that you disgust me.
That's fine, Margaret. I'm really not interested in how you see me.
But I do want to hear what you're talking about here with regard to J.P. Morgan. What's your problem?
Well, my problem is the following thing. J.P. Morgan, is, as a company, I think has done yeoman work in terms of enlightening the... I just want to get a little more hot water here.
You know, Bob, Steve Bozell said he wanted to get more hot water.
Yeah.
You're not at Steve Bozell's house, are you?
Thank you very much.
Well, that is about as childish as it gets.
Did he hang up? I thought I heard a click.
He did hang up, yeah.
Why did he hang up?
Because Margaret asked him if he was at Steve Bozell's house.
Yeah, he probably thought she was saying that they're gay for each other.
You know, we really got to get elevated out of that whole gay, you know. I mean, so what?
Well, you don't think that he's over at his house, do you?
No, I don't think he's over at his house. But even if he was, so what? Let's just get off that kick, okay?
No, but I mean, he's all talk about having girlfriend and everything.
Yes, I think that's what Bud's point is. It isn't so much that he may or may not be gay. It's that he's got a girlfriend. He's got a new young girlfriend. They've got a new a little boy. And I know why he said that, to impress me with how virile he is, all 5'6" of him.
Okay, so he's 5'6". So what? You know what I'm finding out? It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. I'm reading the Lincoln Assassination Commission report, the transcript of the trial. And the different witnesses that are on the stand are being asked questions by the judge advocates, because it's a military tribunal. And every time they describe someone, they say, well, now, how tall was he? Every time they describe a man in this trial, I'm telling you, the guy will say something, well, about average in height, about my size, 5'6", 5'7".
You're kidding.
No. This is the 1860s in the United States. This is the 1860s in Washington, D.C., and every guy that they describe from the witness stand in this Lincoln Commission trial is 5'6", 5'7", 5'8". John Surratt was the tallest I heard described. He was 5'11". Now, I understand that President Lincoln was over 6 feet tall. I also realize that maybe in those days, people had a difficult time judging height. Maybe they didn't quite. If you saw a guy that was 6 feet tall and you didn't see a 6 foot tall guy all that much, maybe you'd say he's 6 foot one just from eyeballing the guy.
From what?
From eyeballing him.
What's that mean?
From looking at him. What do you mean, what's it mean?
Oh, it sounded
a little pornographic.
You know, everything I talk about here sounds pornographic.
Well, that's your fault. You have to clean up the way you do things.
I'm not saying it. I said eyeball.
All right, you ball. You know, when I was younger, I balled. But I now I'm married. Is that what you mean?
Oh, my God, he's going to cry.
No, I'm not going to cry. No, not at all. I'm not going to cry. I'm stunned, that's all.
Yes, sir. Bob Green.
Bob Green? Okay, let me just talk to this guy. Bob, why did you hang up?
I hung up because I was insulted by the comment by Ms. Gray.
I did not insult you, Bob.
Hold on. I'm calling back because I feel the need to defend myself now because I've been talked about off on the air while I wasn't here to defend myself. And the comment was made, what if I was at Steve Bozell's house? So what are you people saying? That I'm at another man's house bathing in his tub? Is that it?
No. I know that you're at your own home, and it was a question that was asked. I said, so what? So what if you were?
So that's what you're saying, that I got something going with Bozell?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it wouldn't matter to me if you did, but I know that you don't.
It wouldn't matter to you if I did, but I don't.
That's what I'm trying to say to you is I'm trying to get these young people who are on staff here to quit the whole gay thing. Like, you know, this is funny, that's funny because it's gay.
I'm not gay, and you understand that, but you still want to perpetrate that.
No, I don't, sir. No, I don't.
Well, then what are you saying? I'm in a tub. I'm in my house. My wife is much younger than me, and she just gave birth to, this will be my fifth kid. And we're planning on having two more.
Why is that? So you can prove you can have two more kids?
Thank you very much.
Well, I don't know what's so funny about it.
I think it's just hysterical. I think this show has hit a new low for childish behavior tonight.
Well, I hope that's not because I've been...
No, not because you're here, General.
All right.
Let's take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm telling you right now, it's just as bizarre as it gets, man. Some of the stuff I've been hearing here. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and join us for more than 5,000 hours of archived audio every day, a podcast of our live show here tonight, as well as our classic podcast, as well as the Bobby Dooley podcast. The Phil Henry Show will be right back. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Andy Warhol painting could fetch $80 million. Man, some of the bread that these paintings fetch. And there it is, right there, just what I was saying to you. With the comments that you guys made the other day, and I followed them up with my own when you were talking about how anybody can be an artist now.
Well, I didn't say that is a bad thing.
Phil, what I said, I wasn't in the conversation, but what I said in my mind as I was listening to it was that any kid with a crayon can make art.
Yeah, that's my point, too.
And Dickman, could you get closer to my ear when you do that?
Bud, you're yelling.
Yeah, no kidding. The kid goes, yeah! God. Bud, I love you, but I damn you, I damn you to hell for what you just did to my left ear.
I think it's true, though.
What do you think is true?
A kid with a crayon can make art.
A kid with a crayon can make art. A kid with a crayon can make art. If you're willing to say that anything is art, then that's fine. However, We do not value things in this society quite as simply as that. You may call it art. You may say it's great. Good for you. Someday it may even be valued as such by everyone else. But the fact is, as sad as this is to say, things do not qualify as art unless a fair number of people value it as such. And what I mean by that is, your little crayon drawing, you know.
Not me, but I mean like a little tiny kid.
Okay, a little tiny kid does a crayon drawing. That is valued by a mother or a father or a grandparent. It may be valued by more than those people. It's valued by people to the point where, to them, it's precious, it's important. All right. Now, I put that next to a Van Gogh, which may be selling for something in the area of $20 or $30 million. And I say, this little child's painting, this little crayon, is art every bit as valid as that Van Gogh. And everybody is going to say, oh, yes. Oh, yes, of course. And they'll all applaud, and they'll say, what a marvelous observation, Phil. Meanwhile, when the bidding opens, they're going for the Van Gogh.
Well, yes, they are going for the Van Gogh, but with good reason. The Van Gogh, while the child's crayon drawing is artistic, the Van Gogh comes from a mind. See, what you used a bad example. Vincent Van Gogh's mind was every bit as scrambled as a child. Not that children's minds are scrambled, I don't mean that. But his mind was
as jacked up as a kid.
It was as jacked up as a kid's, you know?
I don't know. The Vincent Van Gogh you're speaking of was the artist, correct?
Yes.
And it was his brain jacked up?
Yeah, it was pretty jacked up. He wound up cutting his ear off.
Oh, that was the man, yes.
Yeah, Van Gogh cut his ear off. Okay, so his brain was as jacked up as a kid's.
Yes. So why wouldn't that kid's crayon drawing be worth as much? See, yeah.
Okay, Margaret, I tell you what. When you go to an art auction, bring along a little crayon drawing from a kid and see how many people bid on it. That's all I'm trying to say.
So in other words, the only value it has is if other people think it has value.
Of course. Of course. Of course. Movies, songs, pieces of art, literature, it only has value if lots and lots of people want it. If lots and lots of people don't want it, it diminishes in value until finally you have, well, the starving artist who's on the street trying to sell his painting for pennies. The poet who can't sell his writing. I mean, how many examples of that do we need? Just walk down the sidewalk of any major city and you see some guy playing a guitar with a bucket in front of him.
What's a bucket for? Throwing up?
Are you trying to be funny?
Hey!
Are you kidding, bud? The bucket's for the money.
I know.
So, you got all of those guys. You go ahead and tell them how fantastic they are. And you think that they're going to really appreciate that much? They're going to say to you, well, how about making with some money? That's what even the lowest artist is going to say. The lowest artist, if you stood there and said, oh, God, your music is so fantastic. I just think, blah, 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 blah. And you blathered on into the night about how fantastic it was. Unless you made with some greenbacks and you start, you know, shoving the dollars into that bucket, man, he ain't going to buy it. Even the most artistic of the artistic. So, when you say that a painting goes for $80 million, or that this Warhol painting is going for $80 million, or some of these paintings that we were talking about the other day, remember that guy?
Yeah, what about that guy who's like in Germany?
That guy had a $1.4 billion in paintings in his house. So, good Lord, I mean, that's incredible. And that's work that has some serious value. So, the tools of the artist may be available to everyone. The crayon, the paintbrush, the movie camera, the pencil, the word processor, the computer, whatever you want to call it. The tools of the artist may be available to everyone. The guitar, the piano, but the artists are few and far between. And to quote Charles Bukowski, God made a lot of poets, but he made damn little poetry. Oh, yeah. So, who's that?
It's Mr. Green again.
Bob, you been on the line?
Yeah, I've been on the line. I've been waiting to talk to you because you guys have an apology to make to me. Now,
as long as you're hanging up.
I hung up because I wasn't getting the apology I wanted. I was hearing a lot of... Hold on for a minute. Would you get that kid out of here? I've got a new son, Phil. I don't know if I told you or not, but and I'm very proud of him. But he's crawling around on the floor here. Get him out of here, will you? Because I don't want him to drown. So you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I can't hear you now, though, because of the tub. All right?
You can't hear me because of the what?
Now I'm hanging up on him.
Well, you know he'll call back.
Let him call back. So, my big Charles Bukowski line.
Yeah, it got wrecked on a cut of the water.
Anyway, that's what he said, so...
And what does that mean?
It means, Phil, I think I know what you mean by it. It means that there were damn few...
Is that him again? What do you want, Green?
I want my apology. What do you mean, what do I want? I want my apology.
I'm sorry that I said you were sitting in Steve Bozell's bathtub.
Steve Botel.
Steve Bozell.
Yeah, that's the guy. You said that I was bathing in his tub.
You're not. You're at home.
That's right. I'm at home. You know why? Because I know I'm at home because I just saw my newborn infant son crawling around on the floor here in the bathroom with all the athlete's feet. Oh, jeez.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow night. It's been a real, it's just been a real peachy time, you know. World famous Phil Henry Show. See, thank you very much, General.
Phil, it was a pleasure.
And thank you very much, Margaret and Bud and Robert, and thank you all. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for our show log, which will be posted presently. I strap shoes on my feet.